So I'm very happy that we can have these initiations today, and those who are online, it is not that they are any less initiated. They are very much initiated, and just as much as when they're here in person. Srila Prabhupada initiated many disciples by letter. And nowadays we can take it a lot further, because now we can see each other, we can have a life connection. So I'm very happy that we are all here. The first part of the initiation is that we are focusing on the purpose of the initiation, and then we continue. Then there will be taking of vows and giving of a new name, so that we enter into a new identity, and then we will continue and we will perform the Agnihotri Yagya for the purpose of invoking blessings, for offering obeisances to the Supreme Lord and all the Acharyas, and to and to establish the purpose of the initiation, connecting in service to all these personalities. Each time we invoke some personality, we are offering obeisances, we are worshipping, glorifying that personality, and we are submitting ourselves as a servant.
Tu vas traduire tout, hein, parce que plusieurs langues, c'est toujours difficile.
We are very international here, and I do speak a few languages, but I have to shift between all of them, it becomes complicated. All right, so for most of us, today is Jamastami. In Australia, I heard it is tomorrow. What can I do? You know. But then, those from Australia that will be initiated are getting the initiation on the eve of Janmashtami. That is also good. It's already Janmashtami. There it is, evening time. And so that tomorrow you can begin your Janmashtami with all the blessings. Initiation is about giving our life to Krishna. Today, being Janmashtami, we find a description in Srimad Bhagavatam how from the pure mind of Vasudev, which was a mind of Visuddhasattva. Visuddhasattva is unalloyed goodness, or it is not the goodness of the material world, but it is the pure goodness of the transcendental world. Tu peux pas traduire simultanément ou quoi? Oui. Non, ça c'est pas. Je peux répéter ce que j'ai dit, hein, parce que je sais exactement, et toi tu ne sais pas exactement. Alors, je fais le commencement, je fais moi-même. L'histoire est comme ça, que Vasudev, de sa conscience pure, que s'appelle Visuddhasattva, il a manifesté une qualité de purité que n'est pas de ce monde matériel, mais au-dessus, et que c'est complètement transcendantal, donc que ça s'appelle Visuddhasattva. now it's your turn. So Vasudev then transferred that consciousness to Devaki. And subsequently, Devaki became totally blissful. Devaki received that transcendental knowledge, and then Devaki conceived Krishna in this way. So it is said that Vasudev was actually transferring Krishna to the womb of Devaki through the process of Diksha. So Diksha is that. It is a process where transcendental knowledge, Visuddhasattva knowledge, pure transcendental knowledge, is transferred in parampara. I have written on my website that I'm not a very great person, but I have great teachers. And because of these great teachers, I have something to offer. They've given me many, many valuable gifts. So therefore, I'm sitting here today to pass on those transcendental gifts according to Kaladesa Patra, according to... careful. The microphone. So, according to Kaladesa Patra, according to time, place, and circumstance. Well, Janmashtami is the day to be absorbed in thought of Krishna. So, Janmashtami is a very nice day to make offerings to Krishna. So, Janmashtami is a very good day to offer our life to Krishna. Everything. Pranirartha diyavacha shriyam acharanam sadha. That we are offering our prana, our energy. That we are offering everything we have, our artha. That we are offering our diya, our intelligence.
Elle peut entendre parce que tu peux... Tu peux faire plus de bruit, hein, c'est pas un problème. Ouais. Moi, je n'entends rien. Tu peux l'entendre? Vraiment? Oui, je ne le crois pas. Oui.
Vacha is words. So prana artha diya vacha. Our life energy, everything we have. Our intelligence and our words, all that we are giving to Krishna on this very day. And so it is a very significant moment to take a very significant step. Others will be taking second initiation. Second initiation is more internal. In the first initiation, we are vowing to follow four regulative principles, four prohibitions, and to chant a minimum of 16 rounds as a positive activity. In the second initiation, we begin with reciting the Brahminical qualifications, samo damas taposo cham ksantir arjavam evigya, Jnana Vijnana Mastikyam Brahma Karma Swabhavajam in Bhagavad Gita 18:45, that we are having the qualities of the mode of goodness, to be equipoised, sense-controlled, austere, clean, internal, external, full of tolerance and forgiveness, simplicity, no duplicity, simply straightforward. Then cultivating transcendental knowledge and realizing that transcendental knowledge. These are the qualities by which the brahmanas work. At second initiation, we receive the Gayatri mantras and those we chant in the mind in terms as a meditation. So it really becomes much more an internal matter of not what we do, but who we are. And it's quite, Prabhupada always says, is that we get these initiations as an encouragement. It's not that we are considered to be completely qualified, but we are getting them as an encouragement, and then the initiation itself will empower us. Because that is the nature of the initiation, because there's a connection with Krishna. So the initiation is empowering us to be able to fulfill the vows that we are taking. The very fact that we say, Krishna, I'm yours, the very fact that we take a second initiation where we are committing ourselves to yajan, yajan, patan, patan, dana, pratikaha, to engage in activities of sacrifice and to engage others in such activities, to engage in studying the scriptures. Engaging sacrifice also includes deity worship, to engage in deity worship, others in deity worship, to engage in studying scriptures, teaching scriptures, to receive in charity, to give in charity. All these things are the part of the second initiation. Now let me speak about the first initiation. Those devotees that are taking second initiation today, we will have to those who are online for second initiation will just stay online, and meanwhile I will go to a separate room with a few devotees that are here for second initiation, and then I will also go online and will ask everybody else to get offline. But that comes later. It's very complex nowadays with all these Zoom conferences. Back to scripture. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the son of Nanda and Yasoda. When Nanda Maharaj had a son, then Nanda Maharaj was wondering, is it joy personified that has become my son, or did I have a son? Krishna is the source of all pleasure. So this initiation is an initiation in transcendental bliss. And when in devotional service we are not experiencing transcendental bliss, then this is due to the fact that we are still conditioned by the material energy. That somehow or other we are influenced by the material energy. In the stage of pure love, we see that devotional service is 100% blissful, completely blissful. And that is our aim. Meanwhile, because we are conditioned, we also experience that there are austerities. Today, we're taking vows to follow regulative principles. And as far as vows is concerned, we understand that taking vows about our behavior to chant 16 rounds to follow for regulative principles, are setting a standard which is higher than what we would follow if we would just be natural. Yeah? We are kind of forcing ourselves by the vows to act a little higher than where we would be if we would be spontaneous. So that means that at this stage, we are practicing devotional service like a tapas, that we are still practicing devotional service like a duty, that we're practicing it like an austerity, that we are practicing it external, vaidhi bhakti, devotional service according to rules and regulations. Although within our vaidhi bhakti, within our practicing devotional service to according to rules and regulations, there are also feelings. The heart is involved. Yeah. But we still remain very careful about the rules and regulations. That is the purpose of on our journey to stay there. In the rules and regulations. It is it is said, when we start driving, and we drive in the night, then, and it's pitch black, the only way you stay on the road is by the white lines. If there were no white lines, you would go off the road. So, and in the beginning, when it's dark, then you only look at the white lines, you know, it's like 100% white lines. Just look at those white lines and the black road and the white line. And that's driving in the night. Yeah. But then when the morning comes and dawn begins and the sun is beginning to rise, you see, oh, a mountain, a lake, nice. Still looking at the white lines, but you see much more. You see also a landscape. So Krishna consciousness is like that gradually we are seeing more and more of Krishna's amazing qualities, Krishna's amazing pastimes. And in this way, taste is growing and developing, and we become involved. I mean, Krishna is really wonderful. Krishna is actually all attractive. I mean, he really is attractive, I must say. In the beginning, it's more a lesson. Krishna means, Krishdhatu means attractive, all attractive. Na means anant, means happiness. Acha, acha, yes, yes, yes. That is only an intellectual exercise. We are not yet experiencing it. But with time, more and more, as we're coming out of the night, out of the darkness of ignorance, Om Ajnana Timarandasya Ginnandana Sadakya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. As we are getting out of the darkness of ignorance by the transcendental knowledge that is delivered by the spiritual master on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, on behalf of the entire parampara, and on behalf of the Vedic literatures, as we are receiving that knowledge, our darkened eyes are opened and we begin to more and more appreciate Krishna's presence. Already, Guru Tattva has been in our life. Somehow or other, we came to this movement. Already, we received transcendental knowledge. But now, we are fixing ourselves. Then, as we come out of darkness, driving by the white lines, gradually seeing the landscape, Kavi Karnapur, in his Chaitanya Chandradoy Natak, is explaining, he said, we must strictly follow the path. We must strictly follow, stay on the path which is prescribed by the Vedic literatures. He said, but there is one time that you don't have to follow the path. He says, that is at the time of a flood. When there's a flood, then you just take a boat and you can go straight, whereas the path would take you around. But now, as the flood, you can go straight, right? So when everything becomes flooded by love of God, then we are not necessarily following all the rules and regulations. Then we can even go on a spontaneous path. But for us, that is only theoretical. We know that these rules and regulations, these four regulative principles, are the pillars of our spiritual life. And we know that these pillars need a strong foundation. Just as when we take a pole, a wooden pole, and we put this pole in the sand, and I'm from the beach, actually, in the Netherlands, so we've done this many times. You take a wooden pole, you put it in the sand. But if you don't anchor this with some lines, you know, then very quickly it will fall over. It will not stand. So in the same way, if we take the principles of devotional service, if we don't anchor them properly, then it will become hard to follow these principles. So the four regulative principles, they require support, just as this wooden pole requires support. We fix four lines or we anchor it in a concrete base, you know, like just so that it stands properly. Yes. So like this, we are appreciating that our vows in devotional service need support. They need the support of devotee association. They need the support of going to Krishna's temples. They need the support of taking Krishna prasad and not just bhoga. They need the support of chanting Hare Krishna with devotees. If there's no kirtan, life becomes very dry. We know, because with all this online culture, it hasn't been the same in terms of kirtan. And that's why every once in a while we have to do it. We have to be somewhere, meet somewhere, and have kirtan. Whew, absolutely necessary, yes, for our survival. We will have a Harinam this afternoon here in the city of Ljubljana. They've given us permission, and we're getting ready. That's very nice. So, in this way, the four regulative principles require many things. And over time, you have to do more, not less. You know, it's very interesting. In the material world, when you are new at something, it takes a long time, you know. The first time you peel an apple, it's not so easy. It's like, you know, later on it's just, you see these people, like my grandmother, a whole lifetime of apple peeling. I mean, she could just like almost turn the apple around, you know. And the peel would just come off in one go, you know. Then she'd hold up the peel and said, and if you can peel an apple in one go without breaking, then you can get married, she said. Anyway, I don't, that was a grandmother thing, you know. I don't know where that came from. But she was good at peeling apples. Practice makes perfect. That is the point in the material world. So, and as you, after practice, as you're getting better at things, right, then usually it takes less effort. And if you've done a certain job for many years, you know, you can do it like with your eyes closed. Right? But so the effort becomes less. But in spiritual life, it's the opposite. That with these vows, in the beginning, we have to do something to support the vows, but not so much. But with time, we have to do more. You know, like I was talking to Satchinandan Maharaj, who said, he said 16 rounds. He said, it's just not enough. I mean, I've heard other things, but it's too much, and so on. Right? No. It comes to a point where it's just not enough. We need more. We need to read more. In the Jumna Maharaj, he did 1.5 hour puja. So, wow, said Maharaj, that was a serious puja. He said, well, I said, I have to do something to be Krishna conscious. So with time, it takes more effort, not less. This is the nature of Krishna consciousness. It's about absorption. Today, Janmashtami here, Australia tomorrow, Janmashtami is for that purpose. It's for that purpose, to become absorbed. Known as Naimitika Kriya, the special occasion where we make the special effort to be absorbed. That's the idea. So with time, every day is Janmashtami. Every day is meant to be a day of like just Krishna, 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 and Krishna, and a little Krishna. And we mix our Krishna with a bit more Krishna. Like that, you know, the associates of Lord Chaitanya were cleansing the Gundicha temple. And they were speaking with each other. And all they were saying was Krishna, 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 Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Everyone, Krishna. And that was the language. There was only one word, Krishna. And they understood each other. But it was also, that was by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. But there was that total focus, Krishna, 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 nothing else, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So that is the purpose. The purpose. So, the vows will bring us to the point that we have to become more and more absorbed. And all impurities also will come out. It says, it all comes out in the wash in this process. Don't worry about it. Washing is nice, and clean. Sounds very serious. Oh, God. It all comes out in the wash. No, it's okay. You know. Little purificazione. Everybody, sometimes there is sweet purificazione in the form of Mahaprasadam. And other times there is also salty purificazione. I just had some myself. What can be done? Yeah. But that we'll gladly accept. Diminished reactions. Abharapta phalam papam kutam bijam phalam mukam kramaneva praliyata Vishnu bhakti ratatmanam. From the Vishnu Purana, the question of karma is described. And it is said that there is abharapta karma, karma stored within the heart. And it is said that yes, karma is being transferred from disciple to guru. Don't worry about it. Because Krishna, and more so, Lord Chaitanya, takes care of the guru. So without that, we would be in big trouble. Yes. But we are protected by the mercy of the Lord. Yes, so that we are getting purified at this time. This ceremony is purifying us from karma, not from all karma. Still, diminished reactions will happen. Oftentimes the question comes up when something happens to a devotee. Is it karma or is it Krishna? Is it karma or is it Krishna? The answer is both. It is diminished karma, but Krishna, who takes charge of the life of a devotee, once the devotee is taking initiation and says, Krishna, I am yours. Krishna takes charge of the life of that devotee. Then Krishna sanctions the karma. This, yes. This diminished reaction, yes. That one, no. Like this. So ultimately Krishna is there. And something happens. So we live a life very closely connected with Krishna. And everything we do is an offering to Krishna. Every aspect of our life, the way we live in our house becomes, from this day on, our house is Krishna's house. Right? If it wasn't yet, if it wasn't Krishna's house yet, from today it is. And as it's Krishna's house, then we are caretakers. We are keeping it clean, we are keeping it also a clean consciousness in that house. We make sure Krishna is there. No Maya. Maya should stay at the door. And that's as close as she can come. Better outside the garden. Yes, that would be the best. Yes. In this way, every aspect of our life is what we're offering to Krishna at the time of initiation. It goes a lot further than promising four regulated principles, 16 rounds. It goes a lot further. We are offering everything, basically. Every aspect of our life, we offer it to Krishna. Now, that's easier said than done. Right? That's obviously not going to work. If we, in a ceremony, say, okay, I surrender. But then we find that we didn't. It is actually, after the initiation, a lifetime effort. But the purpose of the initiation is to go back to Godhead this very lifetime. That is the point. Srila Prabhupada, it's very interesting, in his mission, emphasized going back to Godhead. And we don't see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying going back to Godhead. We see that in the teachings in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the goal of spiritual life is established as Prema Pumartha Mahan, or that the ultimate goal of the human form of life is to develop love of God. But Prabhupada speaks about love of God, but he speaks a lot more about going back to Godhead. Why is that so? Because, see, the Prabhupada was in Portland, and Srila Prabhupada said that if you follow four regulative principles and you chant a minimum of 16 rounds a day, he said, then you will go back to Godhead. I guarantee it, I guarantee it, I guarantee it, he said. And there are other such occasions also. So what happened here? Prabhupada basically said that we can go back to Godhead. He didn't say, if you have Krishna Prem, you can go back to Godhead. It means that if we are faithful to these vows of initiation, and we are really trying to develop them, it means that then, by the mercy of the acharyas, Srila Prabhupada, by the mercy of our spiritual master, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we can go back to the spiritual world. And latest, we get love of God at the door. Right? Because in the spiritual world, everybody has. If we go back by kripa siddha, by mercy, then we may get it on the way or latest at the door. Then we get it by mercy. Yes. So there's a lot of mercy in this movement. That is to be understood. We are here in this yajna, and there's a lot of mercy. I'm going to ask you to chant 16 rounds, and at that, and follow four regulated principles, and at that, I'm guaranteeing that you can go back to Godhead, right? If you do so. not on the strength of my say-so, but on the strength of Prabhupada's prayer. Prabhupada brought it down to 16 rounds. Lord Chaitanya said he would accept offerings from anyone who chanted 64 rounds in Chaitanya Bhagavat. But Prabhupada brought it down to 16, and no less, he said. No less. There is a clause in the Nectar of Devotion that if you cannot finish your rounds for some reason, that you can finish them the next day. My request is don't use that clause unless you're physically really not able. Like, not don't use it from, oh, I'm tired, I guess I'll chant tomorrow. Don't do that. No. But okay, when you are in the hospital and you can't find your beads anymore because they've disappeared into the ocean of the bed, then you can try and count on your fingers, but if you go unconscious in between, then what can? Then you are excused. Yes, in this way, let us take these vows like our heart and soul. These are our treasures. Guru Sirumani, these are the jewels that are given to us. Brahmanas would carry jewels on their head. Right? But devotees, they carry the jewels of these vows. The jewels. Ah, yes. Very nice jewels. And as you know, there is the Mukta Charita, which is a very nice story. And the Mukta Charita is the story of Krishna planting pearls. Right? And of course, Mother Yasoda said, Krishna, you can't plant pearls. He said, no, you can. And he did, and he watered them with milk, and then bushes came with many pearls. Isn't it? So, these initiation vows are also like that. Let us plant them very nicely in the soil of devotional service and water them with the chanting of the holy name, and let them, and then they'll produce so many pearls, so many from these jewels. Yes, this is very nice. So, one more point is that we cannot be successful in devotional service without blessings. See? We need blessings. We are not the doer. If we think, I'm doing this, I'm following this, I am chanting, I know these scriptures, I'm studying, yes, I am doing it, then we think we are the doer. But we are not the doer. We are rather dependent on blessings. So we need the blessings of our spiritual master, the blessings of the Vaishnavas, and the blessings of the scriptures. One time, my spiritual master did a seminar, and the seminar was called The Hopes and Horrors of Household Life. Right? And the title was on a poster. And, you know, people were upset already before the seminar had started. They go like, this is outrageous, you know. How can he give a seminar about this? And what does he even know about household life? He was never married, you know. I mean, all these things they were saying. And then the premiere of the whole thing was in Radhadesh, and I was supposed to be there, but I got stuck in traffic on the way. So I couldn't make it, and I missed the first session. I came just as the devotees were coming out, and someone else had also missed it. And that person said to someone who came out, how was it? How was it? So, very theoretical, just quotes from the scripture. And I thought that was so interesting when I heard that. Because when the scripture becomes theoretical, it basically means you're not following the scripture. When the scripture, when you're following the scripture, then the scripture is very practical. Right? Then it's not all theoretical. So, but if you're not following the scripture, then the scripture is practical. So the third blessings come from the scriptures. Now that's very difficult. Very difficult, because here are all these injunctions of all these scriptures, and do we really have to follow all that? I mean, do we really have to follow everything? And the answer is yes. And this is also what... Yes. Yeah, it's yes. It's Prabhupada said surrender means you have to follow all the rules and regulations. That's it. So, but that's not done in one step. That's something that has to grow on us. That is something we gradually learn, and it is painful, it is difficult, it is not so easy sometimes. Other times it's blissful. It's always blissful. After the painful, it also gets blissful. So it's always blissful in the end. Sometimes it's sweet at the beginning and sweet at the end, and sometimes it's a little bitter in the beginning, but sweet in the end. That we have that relationship of dependence of the, on the scriptures, on the Vaishnavas, and on our spiritual master, and on the whole parampara. That's what it's about. So, I don't want to go on with this lecture. You know, it's a long lecture now. There are 10 offenses to be avoided in the matter of chanting the holy name. These 10 offenses are listed. I'm not going to give an explanation of them, but all initiates must know them. Yeah, it must memorize them. So if you don't have them, then you should print them out and hang them on the wall and sort of look at them every once in a while until, you know, you start to know them. In the temple, those devotees that have lived in temples, they grow up with these things, because we used to say it every day. First offense, blessing the devotees, dedicate the lives, propagating the holy name. Anyway, it's like that. It goes very fast. Second offense, demigods. Third offense, disobey spiritual master. Fourth offense, blaspheme Vedic literature. Fifth offense. And so on. So, please pay attention to avoiding these 10 offenses in chanting the holy name, because it is by avoiding these 10 offenses that the holy name will very quickly produce results.